Hello everyone and welcome to the Constructive Criticism Network. This network is here to help you improve at Magic the Gathering at every level. From Pauper Leagues to Top 1000 Mythic, we've got you covered. If you want to hear the entire network, head on over to our sponsor at PureMTGO.com, where you can hear each and every show, each and every week, and check out their sponsor, MTGO Traders, and tell them that the CCMTG Network sent you. Now sit back, enjoy the show. From YouTube, podcasts, and more, here's this week's episode from ConstructiveCriticism.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the 342nd episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your Walker Slaying host, Mason. I'm joined by my survival all-star, Allie. Allie, how you doing?
I'm waking up. I'm here.
Nice. In a Walking Dead world, we're not allowed to sleep, Allie. We have to be vigilant constantly for drama, walkers, anything that could go on. It's a lot to worry about.
I actually watched a decent amount of that show.
I was so big on that show the first season. I was like watching it week to week. And I was like, at that point, I think it was the first year of high school or maybe the last year of middle school. But I like tried to tell a couple people I knew and no one would watch it. And the next thing I knew, everyone was talking about the show. And it was just like, what happened? It's just like overnight, everyone started watching.
Yeah, the first, like, two or three seasons were, like, phenomenal, and I don't know why, I just, like, stopped watching it, and it's been hard to get back into it.
Yeah, for sure. I stopped around the third season as well. It was the thing where my dad and stepmom would watch as well, like, they got into it, and I think they kept going for a little bit longer, but...
Yeah, my mom keeps watching it, for sure.
Yeah. Are you ready for this sick flex? My cousin, she... like interned with like the makeup department and everything when she was in college for like, you know, her like I have to do a summer intern thing, and they hired her, and now she's like not like the lead or whatever, or she might not be anymore if this season, but up until this season at least she was like one of the people up there with all the makeup thing, which is really cool. So I've watched scenes where like she posted like, yo, this next one's gonna be crazy, and so I've like waited and seen that kind of stuff, you know, and it's all really amazing what they do on a TV budget. So
sweet. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. That was my random shout out. Now we have to segue away from The Walking Dead. But it's just so hard. Magic communities can't seem to... You know what? Will be the change we want to see. Allie, how was your week since we last talked? We're going to get away from The Walking Dead.
Week's been fine. I went to the Apple Orchard last weekend. That was fun.
You went to the Apple? What'd you see at the Apple Orchard?
Apples.
Oh, cool. No doubt. Yeah. No, of course.
Yeah. We got a bag full of apples, some apple cider donuts, which are the main part of the weekend, but.
Ooh, an apple a day keeps Twitch chat away, so.
God, I wish.
You say that now, and then you start streaming after this, and no one's talking, and the monkey paw curled. today we're going to talk about the grand finals. It's basically Worlds, right? Like, it's weird that it has this name, but just for the way that COVID and everything kind of broke down, this is like the culmination of the big tournaments we had online, and it's a small field, 32 players, you know, you had to do really well to get here, and we're just going to talk about Worlds before this weekend. We're going to go over some of the standard and historic decks, and hopefully that'll help you on ladder as well. But before we do that, let's talk about always improving. It's the point of the show. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. It's kind of the tagline. And my always improving moment this week was just kind of trying out some new stuff and being willing to play things that I think I'm traditionally not really big on. Like a great example of this would be like modern playing taxes, like specifically like a mono white taxes deck. Like, historically, those kind of decks are underpowered, and they're so high synergy driven, and modern just goes over the top of all that stuff. But we are kind of in a place right now where taxes has shown to be very, very strong with the introduction of Skyclave Apparition to the deck, and the format's very fairish, and the unfair decks you're kind of good against at the moment, so just kind of, you know, willing to break down preconceived notions and, you know, be willing to adapt and change, I think is super important. And then we saw Mono White be first and second in the challenge, and I think put up another top 8 in there as well, so Mono White's kind of killing it.
Allie, sweet.
Yeah, what was your always in frame moment this week?
Oh god, I hate that Mono White deck. Anyway.
Whoa.
Anyway.
Quarterback Turtle is a moto grinding legend, Allie. Take it back with QB Turtle.
No.
Alright, cool. No doubt.
Anyway. My always improving moment has been learning Limited this past week, and I've been enjoying it a lot. I've always, like, enjoyed the format in general, but I've been really bad at it because I've not really, like, learned Limited basics before until last week. It was more just like, oh, I am playing MC Richmond, so I need to learn Eldraine Limited. Or, oh, I'm playing PT Phoenix, so I need to learn Theros Limited. It wasn't, like, understanding a basis of Limited and then, like, drawing from that. Mm. But now I have nothing to really test for in terms of Limited, so I just kind of sat down, talked to some people, and started to learn actual stuff, like, behind the format.
That's exciting.
I think it's helped a lot. I've been doing really well in my drafts.
Nice, that's really good. Mythic 2?
Yeah.
Number 2 on ladder? Mythic?
Nope.
Okay.
I had to start off on bronze, though, so, like,
oh,
it'll
sure,
take
the,
a while.
The grind, yeah. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
The grind.
Mythic 2 next week, gotcha. No doubt.
Yeah, next week we'll get there.
Yeah. Mythic's so hard in Limited because Limited's so hard, and you have to, like, pay to draft and stuff. It's just
yeah,
wild.
We're like, the other thing to construct it is free.
Yeah.
If you can actually, like, hit Mythic, I think it's easier to get top 1,200 because there's less people playing Limited.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Limited's, like, your guaranteed ticket, but wow, is it wild to get there? It's honestly mind-blowing. I don't know. It's wild. I wonder if WotC's happy with that formula. I guess they are. They're not changing, and they haven't talked about changing yet, but it seems crazy to me. Anyways, if you want to say what?
I was just going to say, I wish there was, like, a way to, like, phantom draft or something, but yeah. Obviously then they're not making money, but people actually get to, like, not spend $1 million to try and hit Mythic.
That's so true. I got a question for you before we get here. We're talking about ladder. Do you wish Standard and Historic used different Mythic point systems?
Yeah.
No, that'd be cool. I want
to
get the.
It would just be so good for data too, right? Like, I'm going to MTGA Zone before like streaming every day and being like, "Oh, cool! Like, this deck is like 29th on ladder, so I'm gonna try it out." But, like, maybe it's actually just, like, really bad because someone hit Mythic on Standard and they won, like, a game in Mythic, so now they're number 29.
Yeah, you know, that's very fair. That would never happen to 4-color Turbo Pig, which we'll talk about later on the show. But
guess I'm streaming that today.
I tried to get you to stream it yesterday. I was sliding your DMs. I was like, "Hello, Gak. This is a deck." And then you left me on red, and it was cool. I understood you had a lot going on. You know, I saw you look at your phone during the stream, but I'm sure you were busy. So, no, don't worry about it. I'm over it. A night of sleep lets it fester away. excuse me. Sorry, I got a little choked up there. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg and become a patron of the show and get to ask questions like this one. What is your favorite Standard deck, and what made it your favorite Standard deck and format? So, Allie, I'm going to let you go first. What was your favorite Standard deck and format?
Oh god, I love these conversations so much because there have been some really good Standard formats. I love Standard. And that kind of sucks because it hasn't been that great in a while, but, like, I think my all-time favorite Standard format was Theros, Cons of Tarkir, those two blocks, that was A+. It just felt like every deck kind of had like a chance. There were a lot of decks, but not like in a way where it's like modern where you couldn't prepare for all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The decks were so cool. The gameplay was interesting. I'm dying.
We're both really torn up and dying. It's a trying time in these worlds. But yeah. And that was a really good one. That, you know, Abzan kind of like got a bad rap or whatever, but it wasn't, you know, like it was just always like the good deck, never like busted or anything like that. So
yeah. Obviously the format was like way too expensive. Decks were like a grand and standard because of all the fetch lands and stuff, but like Esper Dragons was awesome. Bant Heroic was awesome. Blue Red Scissors was awesome. Naya Dragons was awesome. Gruul Dragons, the red deck was awesome. It just felt like everything was kind of represented.
Yeah, I feel like the decks didn't even get that expensive though until Theros left, and then we had the duels, and then at that point you had to have all the fetches. You know, like before, like you could.
Oh get yeah, away. I stopped playing after that.
Oh word, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah,
I played less, I guess.
Yeah, that's when I picked up one of my favorite little brews of all time that I played locally, Esper Narset. Ah, yeah. I could afford those cards. Those cards are sweet. Have you ever minused a Narset and then cast Dig Through Time for 2 mana? Ah, yeah.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah, that's the way the lore intended to play Magic right there. That's why Narset's my favorite Planeswalker. Take it up. Sometimes you draw a card, sometimes you don't. $75 that card was on pre-order.
My pre-release for Dragons was, the promo was Ojutai, the Dragon Lord Ojutai, yeah. And in a pack, I got a foil Narset too.
That's hot.
So, I made a lot of money and easily won the pre-release.
Nice. You found a way with Ojutai. I thought you said you didn't know the basics of Limited, Allie. What's the truth?
Open good white cards. good mythics.
Yeah, that was a really good one. That's like around the time I really started getting into things. Or starting to get more into things, I should say. And then I would say my favorite, though, it's probably either that one or Guilds of Ravnica Standard. Ravnica Allegiance, the first one from last year, where it's like that and Ixalan and Dominaria. I think that standard was really good. Like, you had the Golgari decks, but all the Golgari decks were different and switched it up. It was like, okay, do you want a bunch of Carnage Tyrants? Do you want, like, Vraskas? Do you want to play, you know, like, that sort of thing? Do you want to play Eldritch Reborn and go, like, really long? And then they had, like, the blue-red control decks with Niv-Mizzet. Then we had the Jeskai decks with Niv-Mizzet. Then we had the Drake decks. And we had, like, aggro decks, and I think that format was really cool. And while the number of decks wasn't as high when it came to, like, deck archetype as a format like Cons Theros, it was a lot of diversity in those archetypes still. Like, you could build your white aggro deck, like, three different ways, and you're, you know, all those decks kind of, like, three different ways. And I think that's a really cool feature of the format. So that was one that I really liked.
Nexus of Fate.
Oh, it was legal at that time, wasn't it?
I loved it.
What did they do? Because you didn't have Reclamation at that point. What was the Nexus plan? Was it just like, oh, it was the Fog deck?
There was like a couple different ones. I played in SCG Dallas. I played Bant and did Oak. Well, like, I debuted. I didn't do very well after that. But that was like the open where Drake almost got top 8 with the Gates version of the deck.
Oh, so that's the format after this one. But yeah. I was talking about that specific window right before that set, where there aren't Gates cards. Like, the one where LSV won. I'm sorry, not LSV. LSV did the Sell the Wreckage fake. That's the format I'm talking about. So before we have Reclamation.
Okay, so
it's just the one Ravnica set, and then the Ixalan and Dominaria cards.
I mean, that entire time, like, was pretty good too, right? We had like a really cool red deck, either like before and after the time period you're talking about. Just like that whole entire time was really good. We had a red deck, we had the mono white deck, we had some Nexus decks, we had Golgari, we had, is it Drake's? So there's just like a ton of really cool decks. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that format was, both those formats are sweet, but I really like the one before we got like the Simic, like before we got Growth Spiral Krasis. I don't know. I played Gates at that first SCG and got top 16 playing mid-range gate cards. No Nexus alley, just like, I'm going to grind you out the deck. It was fun. I blew up Chad's lands with Star of Extinction. It was a good time. All right, Allie. If someone else wants to support the show, they can go to Oasis Games and use code CCMTG at checkout to get 4% off your order. And if it's your first time going, you can use Would That Be Good to get 15% off your order. That way you can save a bunch of money, get some cards, be ready for when the time comes to play your tournamento, and that helps us out as well. Let's hop in, though, to these Grand Final decks, because we've got two formats to talk about. So if you don't know Grand Final / I'm just going to call it Worlds for the remainder of the show, because it's what it is, whatever. Worlds is a split format this year on Arena, so we have Standard and Historic. And at the time of this recording, we do not have every single deck list, but we have a good chunk of them, and we know that a lot of players work together in teams because it's a small field, so we feel like we have a good enough representation of the metagame to actually talk about it. And I think we should probably hop right in with Canister's deck when it comes to Standard here, because this is the deck that everyone thought, hey, this deck's unbeatable. This is, like, you know, the thing that, the Uroban doesn't matter, and that's four-color Omnath ramp. And Allie, what do you think of this deck post-Uro banning?
I think the deck is still very strong. I think Canister and a lot of other people are doing exactly what everyone thought would happen and just replacing Uro with Beanstalk Giants. Some other people have tried, like, Cultivates or whatever, and largely there's probably not a huge difference in how the deck operates from here.
Yeah, I'm curious. So I underestimated how much Uro plus Terror of the Peaks allowed you to win games when playing the Omnath decks before. Like I knew that interaction was strong, but I thought the deck would remain untouchable, really, without that. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I have felt that while this shell is strong, it is not the strongest thing to be doing. Like, if uninterrupted and draws perfectly, it's unbeatable, but I feel like it's so much more clunkier now, and because you lack Uro as a way to have, like, something to do when you're, like, drawing lands off the top, right? Or, like, you're, like, kind of slower early game cards, your deck kind of putters out and can actually be, like, grinded out or counterspelled out or, like, disrupted out of the game, where before you couldn't, because, you know, if you draw your, you know, Spikefield Hazard or whatever, you would just bring back Uro for that turn, and that would be your play. And it wasn't good in the mirror, and it wasn't the most insane thing in the world, but against all the other decks, it just completely drowned them out, right? And now you don't have that. And so, I don't know, I just have not been super impressed by this deck. And I don't know, I think it's telling. Like we know that Salvato, Emma, and Autumn all worked with Canister, and for some reason those three decided to go on Gruul Adventures, which I'm sure we'll talk about here soon. So there's some dissenters in the ranks. I know, I would love to know what their thoughts are on it, but Allie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was mostly I do think this deck largely remains unchanged, but I do think the Uro ban maybe doesn't, like, affect this deck so much, but pushes other decks like Four Color Adventures to be just the better thing you should be doing at this point. I think this deck, not Adventures, probably is just very similar to what it was before and operates in a pretty similar way, but not having that extra push definitely has me favoring Four Color Adventures, which is untouched and is just pretty good. I haven't played the deck until this past week, and Four Color Adventures kind of felt it.
Yeah, we should probably talk about Four Color Adventures. So if you haven't seen this deck, this is an Emma Handy and Liz Lynn creation that they came up with the VML. And it's funny. I mean, I think the sideboard's changed a little bit and the number of giant killers has changed. But besides that, they kind of just released the 75 everyone's been playing, you know, which is impressive, especially on the first shot, you know, spur of the moment idea. And the deck is just adventures. And you play Omnath, and the idea is that, like, your adventure package is a good backup plan. The turns that you play Omnath, you can use Beanstalk Giant plus land for turn to have, like, big swings with Escape to the Wilds. You have Lucky Clover plus Beanstalk Giant in order to activate the Omnath thing, and you just kind of have these huge swing turns, and you use that burst of mana and life gain and stuff from Omnath to use your Fae of Wishes a bunch to kill your opponent. And it's pretty good at doing that. I mean, the deck list that I have at least pulled up on screen is LSV's deck list, which we know six players in the field are playing, including people like Ben White's. And, you know, they've opted for, like, a very solid build of the deck. They have 13 wish targets with two Chainweb Arachnir as the only non-wish targets, and that card is a complete and utter beating against the Rogues deck, so that makes sense for that to be there. And, yeah, I think this deck's super strong. I kind of have a problem with the build that I've been seeing, that, like, their mana kind of stumbles in the early game. I haven't super liked that, but it doesn't look like a lot of people brought a whole bunch of aggressive decks outside of the little Gruul midrange contingency we've seen. So I think they're in a really good position to do well. I don't know. Ooh, I gotta shout myself out there. You ready for this? They have Embercleave in their sideboard, and I put Embercleave in my sideboard. Maybe other people have done that, but I was the first person I saw do that, and that card slaps. Have you ever put that thing on a Beanstalky?
That's spicy.
It go burr. Yeah, I think this deck is really good. I think, you know, if you're looking to get a little bit more insight, the thing that they've cut to make room for all this is Lovestruck Beast from the main, and if you think aggro isn't going to be a big player, Lovestruck Beast is not the most exciting card in the world. So, yeah. I don't know. Allie, do you have anything else you want to say on Four Color Adventures before we kind of pop over?
I haven't played a lot of Standard lately, but I did register a similar list for VML this week. It's a double week, and I can't do any spoilers for one of my matches because it's a feature match, but this deck feels strong. I like it. I would probably register this deck for the grand finals if I were playing in it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I would need to have tested more, but in my, like, incredibly small sample size, the mana drove me crazy for, like, being slow to curve out. And that's a big thing I do not like unless my deck is absolutely busted in half. And I don't know. I didn't feel that way when I was playing it, but I also didn't play, like, a bunch of games and really dive deep into the well, so I don't know. But if you want to hear more about that deck, LSV and Andrew Beckstrom did a whole episode on constructed resources. They break down this deck and the historic deck that LSV is playing and their team is playing, and so if you want to hear more about it, Four Color Adventures, that's probably the place to go. They go pretty deep on the deck. We're trying to hit a bunch of decks here, so we're not going to get that. Speaking of hitting a bunch of decks, we should probably talk about the next Emma deck, Gruul Adventures. This is the deck that Salvato, Burchett, and Handy are all playing in the Grand Finals Worlds here. And the big thing to notice here is that they decided to cut Rimrock Knight, the mediumest of all medium cards, for Brushfire Elemental. And this deck looks super clean, and honestly, and I'm not saying this just to be different or whatever, I really think that as long as they don't get, like, got by their six, like, tap lands that their deck has involving Wild Fable Passage, they have a great chance of winning this event. Like, that's the only thing I see that, like, scares me on this deck, is that your aggro deck has, you know, six Evolving Wilds basically in the early turns, but your deck really needs that for your other cards like Kasandu Mammoth and Brushfire. So I don't know, Allie, what do you think about this deck?
Yeah, this deck looks really smooth. I love not having Rimrock Knight. That card is terrible. I've always hated it, but
Oh, this deck has four gym racers.
Four. How does it make you feel? It
makes me feel alive. No, I think gym racer is actually really good right now, which is great for me. I love me some gym daddy. But it's good against Clover, against the Omnath ramp decks. They all have Felidar Retreat. And these sort of mirrors, it's, you know, like, really good. You can kind of have a bulky-ish battlefield, and then this becomes like a +3/+3 a lot of the time to a creature, which can be super big. I don't know. I think this is just like a really strong card and a really strong deck. You can do the, if you want to get really cute, you can Gym Razor your Kazandu Mammoth for that +1/+1, and then you get your fetches, and then bam, now your Mammoth has Trample. That's kind of a sneaky play that you have. I don't know. This deck seems really good to me. It also seems really good because a lot of people just don't have a lot of respect for the aggro cards. And when I was listening to LSV talk about those decks on Constructed Resources yesterday, it seemed he was of the opinion that the aggro decks were not playable in any shape or form and that you shouldn't worry about them. But I wonder if that's a thing where LSV's been playing, because it sounded like they predominantly all tested on ladder, like their team, and then talked to each other. And I wonder if that's a thing of like, yeah, the team that's all queued for Worlds is beating up on these untuned aggro decks on ladder with their, you know, Omnath deck. Like, I'm curious to see how this all plays out. And it, like, when great players like Handy Salvato and Burchett play this aggro deck, if they can, you know, be the difference that we saw with like Goblins at the last Invitational. So I don't know, it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be super cool. Rakdos Midrange is the next card. Oh, I'm sorry, the next deck. This deck popped up on Saturday. I want to say Yolric. I might be mistaken there, though. But someone won the Red Bull Untapped event with this deck. And this deck destroys Omnath Ramp. It is not the greatest in the world against Adventures. It's fine. I've played a little bit of this, but this deck, if you thought like people were going to play the Omnath deck from before the banning, this is the deck to play now they don't have Uro to grind you out. I think this deck is cool, albeit it has some polarizing matchups. Allie, have you played this one any?
I played it a bit right after it started winning those events, and just like wasn't doing it for me. I definitely worry for the people that registered this, because I think most people did step off of just the Omnath ramp deck. Mm-hmm. But I can see it still doing all right against Adventures. I do think it struggles more against that. So we'll see. I probably actually prefer this against the Gruul decks that those three are bringing too, so maybe these decks do okay, but there's a lot of Adventures, and I don't know how it'll fare against all of those.
Yeah, for sure.
I would probably rather be on this deck than say like Canister's deck, because I think the ship is kind of sailed for just the four color Omnath ramp.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious. I don't know, like, this deck looks bad, right? Like, you know, just we can be honest about it. Like, it doesn't have a lot of strong cards. It has a lot of really high synergy cards, and a lot of those high synergy cards really only pay off if Kroxa is good in the matchup, right? Like, you're doing a lot to enable Kroxa. That being said, I do think Kroxa is quite strong, and you're just going to have polarizing matchups, I think is what it comes down to. But we'll see. Maybe we're super wrong, or I'm super wrong, and, you know, this deck just completely dominates. I'll be interested to see. Split format, sometimes some crazy stuff happens. You know, you like you 2-2 with one deck, and then you have 4-0 with the other, and you win your tiebreakers, and you're in top 8, you know? So it could be an interesting time. The only other deck that is not on this kind of dump here from MTGA Zone that we know will be there is Seth Manfield tweeted that he is playing Rogues. We don't have Seth's deck list, but we know Seth's playing Rogues, and we can kind of talk about the archetype in general there. Allie, how do you feel about Rogues? It looks like we have at least one of 32 on it.
I'm sorry. I know you really like Rogues. I think the deck's bad.
I liked Rogues a lot more earlier in the week. I do think that deck is specifically good against four-color Adventures. I think they have to get their Arachnir post-board to really stand a chance. The problem is that, like, the Arachneer is really easy to find because it's an escape creature, and your deck works best by, like, getting them to at least 8+ cards in the graveyard. So, like, it's kind of the Uro problem, right? But almost worse for you because the Arachneer has reach and ETB kills one of your creatures. And, like, Uro could come back and just kind of fog for a turn, and this fogs forever. But, yeah, I don't know. The Rogue deck, much like the Rakdos deck, in my opinion, has polarizing matchups. And you play a lot of weaker cards, and you kind of walk on a thread the whole time you're playing. So,
yeah, I think the Uro banning actually did a great job of, like, backing up my argument that Uro being in the format is a really weak excuse for why Rogues isn't good. And we can just see, like, Rogues still hasn't really been doing a whole lot. And it's just, like, I don't think the deck is doing anything powerful enough to be able to compete with the other powerful things in the format.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens now that, like, we have these pro deck lists when it comes to the format. We saw Rogues win the showcase this past weekend on Modo. But Rogues is also really bad against Rakdos midrange, which wasn't really a player too much. Like, the Red Bull event was that same time. And that's obviously, like, a bad matchup in the same sense of Uro was, right? Where, like, you're fueling their game plan. So I'm curious to see what happens. But, yeah, I think the low-power cards and having to have your cards line up a little bit too much for it to work, for it to work out for them is kind of a no-go for me right now. The deck that I like the most in Standard is just Teamer Adventures, which Greg Kowalski is actually playing. And I have just liked it compared to 4-color Omnath because the mana is a bit better. But the problem is that, like, in a tournament like this, you are really weak in the mirror if you don't draw your Mystical Disputes that are in your main deck. Because you're just, your card for card is just the same, except they have Omnath and you have Lovestruck Beast, right? And so, like, that doesn't work out very well in the head-to-head. So it's very hard to, like, want to play this deck or promote this deck on, like, outside of ladder. Because on ladder, you play against, you know, a bunch of random BS, and it doesn't matter, right? Like, you just need a consistent deck. But in this kind of tournament, I'm really curious how Kowalski got here, you know? It seems very, very risky. I know maybe Kowalski thought there'd be a bunch of the ramp deck, and I think the ramp deck is kind of a fine matchup, so. I don't know. What do you think of normal Teamer before we move on to Historic, the format of choice?
Yeah, I do think the mana is better. I think it's just worth it to play Omnath, though. I feel like if I'm playing this tournament, I probably want to do everything in my power to play Omnath.
Sure. Well, that's a good segue. So let's talk about Historic. We have two decks to talk about that are both... I'm sorry, we have three decks to talk about. The first deck is 4-color Omnath. There are a bunch of these.
That's it. That's the podcast.
There's just a bunch of Omnath decks, and I'm, like, kind of pulling them up here as we're talking to make sure that I'm not missing much. But basically, it looks to be that they took the Standard deck, and then they ported it to Historic, and the big winner from this event is Yasharn, the Implacable Faith, or Implacable Earth. I don't know how I got Faith there, oh my goodness. But it's the big pig from Zendikar, that's the Sacrifice Hate card that would have been good in Standard but is now useless. And it's good in Historic because Junsak is really strong, and it also stops it stops Skirts Prospector and Treasures and things like that, and stops Phyrexian Tower. So it's like a weird hate card. So it's been splashed in the deck as well as a thing to play off your Growth Spirals and your Lotus Cobras to, you know, slow down your opponent's deck. Doesn't look like anyone's brought Jund yet from the decks we've seen. But that's kind of the big innovation. And Allie, what do you think of these Omnath soup decks that have taken Historic by storm?
I'm so surprised because I've been playing a lot of Historic and I've seen, like, maybe one or two Omnath decks here and there. And when I've played against them, they haven't been doing, like, a whole lot of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, maybe that's just because people haven't been paying as much attention to Historic lately, and that I just see, like, Jund Sacrifice everywhere and Rakdos Pyromancer, so I'm also also just, like, surprised not to see anyone registering those so far either.
Yeah, so this is an interesting part of this event that we should probably talk about. So, like, if we look at let's just talk about the two teams that we know all the players on, right? Like, so there's LSV Ben White's team, and then there's, like, Handy Burchett's team. And that is 10 players between those two different teams, right? That is 33% of the metagame. So if they decide not to play something like Jund or whatever, a third of the field is not playing Jund automatically, right? And it could be the opposite too, right? Like, if they decide to play Jund, both teams separately, a third of the field is playing Jund. And sometimes with these smaller tournaments, the super teams just sway the entire metagame on the decisions they come to. So I'm curious how many of the, like, individual or smaller team players actually end up on Jund. And I gotta say, almost every decklist I'm looking at has the big boar here, and I would not want to be playing Jund if this card is everywhere. I would be very frustrated going into this weekend.
Yeah, it looks like, just like looking at all these decklists, that everyone really expected Jund, and honestly, like, if no one plays Jund, that's just going to be kind of embarrassing. I don't know. It feels like one of those things where, like, it seems very smart because you're expecting people to play the best deck, which is probably Jund or Goblins, I suppose. And then it looks like, at least for now, it's going to be a case where no one does. Granted, we still have, like, probably, like, half of the holes to fill in, but I still expect more people to be playing Omnath, too.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the other half have all decided to play Jund, you know, of their own accord. Yeah, it's interesting, because I think that card does have some weird text that comes up. Like, not being able to sacrifice for cost just randomly matters in weird spots. Like, you can't use your Phyrexian Tower for double mana, and just weird things like that. And it's only two of the deck, but it is kind of like what you said, right? Where they're like, okay, we've got this tech. And I think everyone found the tech. And so it's kind of obsoleted itself, you know? Like the best time to play Affinity is when, you know, no one has Stony Silence. It seems like people kind of figured out, oh, the pig is coming. The other big deck, and it's big because six players are playing it, is four-color Turbo Pig, as LSV and them call it. It is Sultai splashing the Pate Pig we just talked about. And that is the deck. It is Sultai Control, playing two pig in the main, two pig in the board. Pocket Pig. I think this deck is probably okay. I don't know. Sultai is pretty good. I have no real strong thoughts on Sultai in Historic. Do you, Allie?
It's never super impressed me, no.
Yeah. Just like a fine mid-range deck or whatever. Who knows? I am of the opinion that Jund beats this deck. And maybe if you play Turbo Pig and you have your, like, you know, your piggy, that you're able to outgrind the Jund decks a fair bit of the time, and then maybe this makes this the best fair deck. But maybe Omnath, you know, invalidates playing fair decks in Historic because you just go over the top of everybody and just, you know, put a bunch of power on the battlefield very, very quickly. I don't know. I'm curious if after this event anything is going to get changed when it comes to Historic, because it feels like, I don't know, Historic's probably fine.
It's, like, interesting, right? Like, it feels like this boar card just should not be a main deckable card, and maybe that's just, like, a symptom of this being a small tournament and people trying to get, like, a small edge against anyone bringing Jund Sacrifice, but, like, if I go down the ladder and see everyone just, like, main decking this card, I'm gonna be upset, and that probably says something about the format.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I do expect a bunch of people to play this card in the next 24 hours or whatever, or the next little bit, you know, especially when the tournament goes live and, like, everyone sees the deck list, and if they do well. But, I don't know, it does solve itself, right? Like, if everyone plays Turbo Pig, you just don't play cards that make Turbo Pig good, and then you just, you know, you switch off it, and then eventually it comes back around. But, I don't know, that's interesting. I wonder what the Historic team is thinking right now. The format has been kind of in a weird place ever since the last Mythic Invitational. Like, not a lot of people talk about it now because there's been less focus on it, and the people who were playing it were obviously, like, in World, so they're not going to talk about it. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's an interesting time to be alive. I have to assume Omnath is really, really good in Historic. but not good enough to immediately answer. But maybe they didn't want to immediately answer it because of grand finals, so who knows? Whatever. That's a conversation for a different day. Let's talk about the other cool deck in this format, and this one actually does get stopped by Turbo Pig. This is the historic Neoform combo deck. This was popularized by Yeoman. And basically the idea behind this deck is you Neoform up a 2-drop, and you get dual caster, or you cast like a dual caster mage, and you copy your Neoforms, and you put a bunch of 3-drops into play, and then you put a Tuk Tuk Rubble Fort into play, which gives all your creatures haste, and you hit them. Yes, Blender Twin them, because you got a bunch of copies of your dual caster mage, and you go off. Allie, what do you think of Neoform combo?
I actually think this deck will probably do well against the Omnath decks. I don't think they interact that well sooner than just playing the boar pig thing, but like this deck is already winning before that. Whereas like the Sultai deck, you actually have interaction. You have like hand hate. So I think it's gonna do pretty poorly against Sultai, but it looks like more people are playing Omnath, so I actually don't hate this.
Yeah. Yeah, this seems totally reasonable. I'll be a little all-in-y, but, you know, you get some pretty cool cards in your deck. Like, you're a combo deck that gets Pact Negation as backup, which is kind of cool. Like, this deck is pretty cool and has gone through some interesting evolutions. Like if you look at the sideboard of this deck list, there's just, like, weird things in them. Like, this version isn't playing it. There's another one I saw that maybe it wasn't for this, but someone was put like an Aven Mind Censor in their Neoform deck to 2-4. And like, I don't know. It's just a really interesting deck that has a lot of weird places to go. Like this one has a Nissa Who Shakes the World in the sideboard and a Neoform in the sideboard. And I can't figure out why the fourth Neoform is in the sideboard. I assume it's for this Fae of Wishes, but it's just wild. The deck is just kind of a cool little concoction. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with Faye, what you have
7 copies.
There's
of Neo?
three.
Yeah, the 3 Faye. I think that's definitely a calculated number.
Yeah, I don't know. All
right. There's 1 Terror of the Peaks in the main deck. I assume that's so if your opponent has a big enough board, you can play Terror and then go for combo, and then that will kill them because the terror triggers. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Okay. A lot of cool stuff happening here. Playing Valakut's Awakening. That's a cool little combo card that we haven't seen get a lot of play. The 1 Growth Spiral, the correct number. and yeah, I.
Oh my God. Okay.
4 Explore, 1 Growth Spiral, just the way God intended. Let's talk about Blue White Control from High Banana Fish. This deck is just control, playing like Guinea of the Trial, Narset, Part of Veils, Teferi as the win cons. And it plays 4 Pact Negation, which is a combo with your Guinea of the Trials. You put an emblem and you can pact as early as turn 3.
Hate it.
Yep, it's a combo. And yeah, this is the deck. It is just blue white control. I don't I guess the thing to talk about is High Banana Fish put main deck Graftaker's Cage. And I guess that is for, like, the Uros of the world. I guess that's good against every deck. And you probably have to do stuff like this if you want to compete. Wow, actually, every deck we talked about, this card is good against. Varying degrees of good, but still good, right? Like, Neoform, it beats. Omnath, it slows down. Uro, it slows down. It stops goblins from muxusing you.
Control.
Yeah.
I think Blue-White Control is kind of the only deck that can play Graftigger's Cage as a way to kind of combat Uro, because, like, I don't know, anyone else who plays Graftigger's Cage to deal with Uro, it seems really bad, but I think Blue-White Control needs to maintain the card advantage, and once you get the Uro train going, it's really easy to beat Blue-White Control then.
Mm.
But, like, if you're playing, like, say like some mid-range deck and it shuts down Uro, it feels like it doesn't necessarily really matter. Like, they're still gonna do their thing, and not escaping Uros is kind of negligible.
Yeah, for sure. You're also the only deck that doesn't use cards with Graftdigger's Cage effects, so... it feels like a lot of time I'm boarding in my Graftdigger's Cage, and it's like, alright, my Uros are weaker, but I gotta stop theirs, you know? Or whatever, the their-like thing they're doing, so... Yeah, I don't know. Deck's interesting. That kind of does it for the format. They're, you know, in historic, we might see some goblins or something like that pop up, but it doesn't look to be the case. I imagine they're not very good against the Sultai decks with all the interaction, nor the Omnath decks probably actually being quicker than you, which is crazy to talk about, and gaining maybe enough life to actually survive a Muxus hit. And yeah, that's kind of do it for historic. Allie, what are your picks for standard and historic when it comes to the World Championship? What are you picking? What the two decks are you bringing? What do you think is going to win?
Based on my own testing, I probably would have done Four Color Adventures and Jund Sacrifice, but might get my I might get destroyed in this historic portion.
Yeah, you'd be the one historic player playing against all the pigs, and you're just like, oh no, this stupid pig, and people ask you to sign the pig for years and years. That would be a terrible brand. It's just a whole thing. Eggroll hates it. He's freaking out about it.
I don't know what I would pick, like, other than that. I feel like I definitely wouldn't want to play Omnath. It hasn't been that powerful for me, but...
Yeah. I haven't played a whole bunch of Omnath, so I'm not exactly sure what I would play when it comes to Historic. I've been kind of out of it when it comes to that format, but I would probably look to play something in, like, this vein, and I might have played an even more all-in Omnath deck. But... I don't know. I don't know if I would have found the pig in the main deck. Like, if I was, like, playing for this by myself, I think the pig would be in my sideboard. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I like that. And then for standard, I would probably play, like, maybe something like mono green or... I wouldn't play teamer because, like, I would expect a bunch of four-color adventures. And maybe I would just end up playing four-color just for the mirrors. But I'm not super in love with that idea. It's just so many weird pressure points on standard when it comes to you. So, yeah, that's me. I don't think I would have got to the Gruul deck that Emma and them got to, but I think they have a real, real shot of winning this event if the six Evolving Wilds don't come back to bite them in the butt. So I'm going to pick them, and I'm going to pick Omnath. Just do the broken thing. Maybe it's strong enough in this, and people are going to try to Sultai you out, and it's just not a winning proposition. If you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg. If you want to find us, you can find me at twitch.tv/themasonclark and on Twitter at MasonEClark. Allie, if someone wants to find you, where can they go?
Go on Twitter at MythicMeebo or twitch.tv/Mythic_Meebo.
Thank you all so much for listening to us, and we'll see you post-World Championship for another episode of Constructed Criticism.